What is the future rental use? Consider that JB is much cheaper and people are renting there instead of in Singapore. If the train from Singapore reached KL, would Singapore rental be low in demand?
I still remember probably about 10 years back, there was like a super hype for Iskandar properties. Okay, so I also own Malaysia properties. Recently, I just bought one. But it's really for like a holiday home. I bought like a brand new landed. It's a holiday home. It's really for that just that mindset. So I have no hope and dream to see the property appreciate. I have no hope and dream to rent out the property. I don't intend to rent it out. So my purpose is very clear. So me and my wife just want to own like a holiday home. So if we travel, bring the kids for a road trip to Malaysia, and of course we like Malaysia, then we have a place to stay without always depending on Airbnb and hotels and stuff like that. We can also bring our family, my parents and all that. If they want to stay there for a week, then they can just take the keys. And of course, I can also hold like retreat for PRB people, right? So we can like go there, have fun, stay in the lander for 2-3 days. Probably also because this year we did a lot of like hackathons in Malaysia. We rented like Airbnb corner terrace and then we just stay there for 3-2 nights, come with all the plans and all that. Okay. So my purpose is clear. What is your purpose? Is your purpose to see your Malaysia property appreciate in price? And you want to sell and make a profit? If that is so, let me just share with you two perspectives. Number one, let's say you buy a property at $1 million. 5 years later, you manage to sell at $1.2 million. So my first question is that you need to consider the exchange rate. Because you're investing in a country whereby the currency is weaker than your currency. So what is going to happen is that $200,000 in 5 years' time is going to be way lesser because the exchange rate keeps depreciating. Now it's about 3.49. In future, I don't know, it might be 3.67894. I'm not sure. It might strengthen. But based on the trending, I think Singapore currency is always getting stronger. So take note of the currency exchange risk. It's called the FX risk, right? Number two, if the FX is present, and if you're taking a mortgage, then it might also be a counter effect, which might be a positive thing. Why? Because if you're paying a monthly installment, you're paying the monthly installment with weaker and weaker money, because let's say the money installment is 6,000 ringgit per month. Over the next 10 years, if you continue to pay 6,000 ringgit per month, assuming the interest rates are the same, you're paying with your stronger Singapore currency, which technically will mean that if the currency rate for ringgit depreciates, you're paying with stronger and stronger money in lesser absolute amount. So maybe at 6,000 ringgit, right, you only need to pay $1,700 Sing dollars, example. But maybe as your currency strengthens in accordance to the FX risk, in 5 years later, you only need 1,003 Sing dollars. Just an example, right? So that's number one. Number two, if you're buying with the intent to see appreciation, I would think that it might not be a good intent, because if your hope and dream is really to see the property appreciate, take note that in different countries, there's different demographics in terms of demand and supply. Singapore works very differently. 15 rounds of cooling measures, land is scarce, and population keep increasing. Just by these three things, it is different already. Malaysia has technically a lot of supply. A lot of times, if you were to purchase a property brand new, by the time you want to sell, you're competing with a lot of other brand new properties also. There's a lot of new launches by developers. There's too much land bank, in my opinion. So I think it's perfect for a holiday home. It's perfect for maybe you're doing an Airbnb business, buying a couple of rental properties and doing Airbnb if you want to operate there. You work with a local partner or things like that. But I think if you have the hope and dream to see appreciation, I think it might not be a very good hope and dream, in my opinion, right? So 10 years ago, there was a hype in Iskandar properties. A lot of people buy properties at Iskandar, Medinia. I think they are still holding on to all those properties now. And just by the very fact that there's so many new launches, the supply is always matching up and superseding demand. And also take note, the policy that if you're a foreigner, you had to buy at least $1 million. This disfavors the property holding as a capital appreciation asset class. Why? If you are a Malaysian citizen, you have plentiful of choices. You can buy condos at 350,000, 400,000, plentiful of choices. That means if you're buying $1 million, you're technically just paying that difference to own a property. And technically speaking, if you compare to what Malaysian citizens can buy in terms of price choices, you already lose out as a foreigner. So I think if your concept is really to hold it as a foreign property just for enjoyment, then I think by all means, but do not put in the hope and dream to see appreciation. If it appreciates, that's good. If you don't appreciate, then you must be ready to hold it, right? So just take note of that. Now, to answer your question, will Singapore rental be low in demand? I don't think so, because I think based on population figures, the expatriates pool coming in is still strong. I think people will still value the time difference to travel. Of course, if the train is there, I think it will be a great arbitrage for Singaporeans. Singaporeans can own properties there for rental. Speed is fast. I think it's going to be fabulous. I also look forward to the train. So I think if the train happens, then maybe our rental prices will not be too heated up by the time. But let's just hope it happens, because policy can change. Inter-country policies change all the time. I also don't want to put too much hope and dream in the train kind of like movement between the two countries. So I'd rather put my energy and focus on local properties. All right, next.
Would you advise to buy a new launch condo or a resale condo?
So watch that two episode, because the fundamental is that it's not about new launch or resale. It's about the project type. Some new launches see profit. Some new launches stagnate. Some resale see profit. Some resale stagnates. So it's not really about new or resale. It's about, firstly, disparity gap. Secondly, the pairing strategy. And in this season, which PSF makes sense to see that opportunity arbitrage? So my opinion is that if you're talking about now towards 2024, resale might be something that you can look at seriously. I'm not saying that new launch is no good, but I think new launch will start to clear out towards third and fourth quarter of 2024, because there's very little new launches in 2024. There's quite a fair bit of balanced units, good projects, new launches from 2023 that will actually move forward into the balance inventory of 2024. People might start to look at them, because the PSF will start to make sense once resale catch up. Resale needs to catch up in terms of PSF and quantum. TOP project is already, in terms of PSF, very close to new launches. So I think new launches will start to clear out in the last two quarters of 2024. And by 2025, most of the balance units will clear out. And then 2026 will have a new high. So I think you can look at both, but importantly, hunt for the one that has best popularity, best volume effect, potential of good transaction volume by TOP, because you want the valuation appreciation to move up based on healthy transaction volume. Fundamentals using our mode analysis near the MRT, parents attraction effect, rental demand, and of course, preferably high rise, good project size and things like that. All right.
Mid-late 20s young couple with a few years of working, both median income, ready to settle down. Option A, save up 4 to 5 more years to buy a condo or buy HDB as owner-occupier. Or B, buy HDB next year, co-own and qualify for grants, but must pay ABSD if get second property next time. Which would you choose?
Now, based on your scenario, late 20s, assuming 28, 29, I think option A to save 4 to 5 more years to buy a condo might not be a good option. Okay, rationale is like this. Buying a property is not just investment-centric, own-stay-centric. It is also psychology-centric. When you own an asset, it trains you to save, because now you have a responsibility. Similarly, example, I always tell my salespeople, the criteria is that within the first year, once you start to close some deals, you need to get a second-hand car. Any car, Japanese car, why? You need to own a responsibility for your clients to fetch them for viewings and to reach different listings to open the properties to show buyers for your sellers. Because if you take Grab, take bus, take public transport all the time, you are not responsible as a salesperson, right? And owning a car creates a responsibility that you must do well certain month, every month, to pay for the car. Because a car is a tool for a realtor. A home has also psychological factors, because the moment you start to own a home, you need to maintain it. You need to pay property tax, monthly conservancy or MCST, electrical bills, internet bills and stuff like that. That will give you like an internal healthy motivation to be hardworking, because you now have a responsibility. Similarly, like when you get married, you also want to be a responsible spouse. When you start to have children, your level of responsibility increases. So I think sometimes owning a property or maybe owning 2-3 investment property is a psychological game. So coming back to this, if you wait 4 to 5 more years to save up to buy a condo, by that time, the price will already escalate. My preference is that go for the option to buy a resale HDB near to MRT station, owner-occupier scheme. But read the disclaimer. Our episode previously on Standard Plus Prime and the impact on the resale properties is that we talk about the fact that HDB has the right to change the owner-occupier scheme anytime. So take note, even if you buy now with one owner name, one occupier, midway, if they change the policy, then this will not work. So take note of this disclaimer. I'm going to put it here loud and clear for you, okay? For now, if you go in one owner-occupier scheme, the disadvantage is that the income will only be based on one owner. That means the income that you qualify to loan from HDB or the banks is based on one owner because that is technically only one owner. But the benefit is that after 5 years, should both of you do well in your mid-30s, the occupier is not subjected to ABSD when you come out and buy a private property. I think this is the best moving for now based on your scenario because 5 years later, your resale HDB near to the MRT will be very easy to rent out. Go for minimum 4-room flat or 5-room. Very easy to rent out. It's going to create income for you to pay for the mortgage for the HDB plus some extra spare cash to pay for the MCSC and contribute to installment of a condo. You can move to the condo, rent out your HDB. You can have one HDB, one condo. I think that's the best approach. All right. So watch the episode. I have explained in depth for you over there. Last question.
Is now a buyer or seller's market?
Now is definitely a buyer's market. Why is it a buyer's market? A buyer's market has slower transaction volume. Transaction volume for the entire 2023 is the same as 2019. This is a buyer's market because there's more listings, lesser buyers taking immediate action. I'm not saying there's no buyers. I'm saying that buyers are taking time to take action. However, a seller's market will happen when you start to see headlines every launches. You start to see resale volume shooting up, condo resale, HDB resale, landed resale. You start to see brand new condo launches, 80%, 80%, 90% sell out for every launch. Why is this a buyer's market now? It's because not all new launches perform very well. Some are 20%, some are 40%, 50%, some are 80%, but not everything is sell out. So now it's a buyer's market, but what's going to happen next year is that 2024, if interest rates come down, is going to swap back into a seller's market. Why? Interest rates always affects and impacts the mindset of buyers. When interest rates are low, buyers flood back because of FOMO. When interest rates are high, buyers are a bit more cautious. They want to take their time. And thus, I would say that the biggest proponent of whether is it a seller or buyer's market is based on the interest rate. All right, so I've come to the end of episode 2 of AMA. We hope that you had a great start to 2024. Leave your questions below in the comment section. We're going to tabulate them. We'll do more AMAs for 2024. And we hope to see you on our future NOTG Banter, NOTG Solo, and our research series. And we're going to come up with new series. If you have certain ideas on what kind of topics we can talk about in our NOTG channel, please leave a comment. We'll look forward to your comments and we appreciate all your support over the years. And my name is Melvin Lim. We hope to see you soon. Take care.